Welcome, everybody, to the Illogical Podcast of Illogical Debates. Here with your host, Joel, and here with Tyler Knotts and Ginger Hawkins, apparently.
No, his name's Austin.
It's Austin. I've been a co-host Austin. With you for like...
I like Ginger Hawkins, though. It just sounds cooler.
It does. That's why I chose it as my online persona for most things.
Well, you actually chose Ginger Hawk, but I like the Ginger Hawk.
He used to have an actual like mohawk of red hair.
I did. It.
Oh.
Yeah. So, anytime you say Ginger Hawk, it's not the bird hawk. It is the abbreviation of mohawk, which is I know just taking two letters out of it.
Are we talking faux hawk or real live mohawk?
No.
Are we talking
no?
Like full on like. Bald sides, like full mohawk.
I wish I could pull off a mohawk right now. Yeah, God did not bless me with that kind of hair in that kind of location. Blessed everywhere else, but...
Oh, well. Oh. So yes, this is Ad Hominem, the podcast of Illogical Debate. Welcome back. I'm usually your host. No, I'm always the host. What am I talking about? I'm just one of the three hosts. Let's move on to other important news, like the polls for episode 11, which was called what again? I don't remember. Oh yeah, emergency situations. I mean, that was the only sort of theme I could pull out of that last minute randomly generated episode.
Ooh, sounds emergency.
But anyway, so here's how it shook down. On Twitter, there was a tie. Just like complete 50-50 tie. So we're not even going to acknowledge Twitter right now. On Facebook, though, thank you to everyone who voted on Facebook. We have, for debate one, superheroes. Are they protectors of justice or are they dangerous vigilantes? That was a unanimous protectors of justice for Tyler. For debate two, are can I and may I interchangeable? That one actually went my way, 67% of the vote. So,
frankly, I didn't understand the debate, to be honest, so I kind of expect that. I had no idea what I was debating. So,
well, you still got one third of the vote.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not really good with grammar.
Wait a minute.
At all.
Wait a moment.
Sad.
Tyler, you voted for yourself.
I had to give something to give myself some kind of edge there.
Can we make it illegal to vote for yourself? So if you do it, you automatically lose the episode.
I'd love that. Doesn't that mean though, Austin, that both you and Whitney just forfeit your voting on the next episode?
No. I did not vote for myself, remember?
That don't count, Joe. That don't
Tyler,
count.
You said Tyler voted for me to even everything out.
Whitney voted for herself. Sorry, Whitney. We're not going to disqualify you from winning if everyone else voted with you. But Michelle, if you're listening, and you'll be on next week, don't vote for yourself. Anyway, we've got one more to go through. So who won debate three? Stronger monster, vampire or werewolf? That was 100% werewolf. Even though vampires are the space aliens you should all be afraid of. No, everyone's like, we're just going to do the werewolf thing. They're stuck on Earth, but whatever.
I mean, they're like Incredible Hulk, but with wolves instead.
Yeah.
And the full moon instead of anger. I mean, they're still pretty angry, but, you know, hairy and angry.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to debate today. We've got things to do, people to see, childhoods to ruin, things like that. This is Ad Hominem, the podcast of Illogical Debate. If you're tuning in for the first time, this show's premise is a debate game that we are playing for fun and promotion, mostly for fun, though. And you can play along at home by voting on the winners yourself, as you just heard. Now, let's get into those debates, if you don't mind. Tyler, you are kind of running the show tonight, because this is something that Austin and I set up a couple weeks ago. Exhibition match. Ruining childhoods.
I wouldn't so much say set up as much as I would say We got into a dumb argument on Twitter, and Joel said, fuck it, I'm going to make an episode out of
this. This looks like it's going to be fun.
I guess. I mean, I do like the topic that we're going to have, so.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the best way to make episodes sometimes, man. Did Count Von Count eat all the kids on Sesame Street? Yes or no?
I mean, you don't see a lot of the kids on Sesame Street more than once. All right, so how this works. At the beginning of our turn, we can ask our opponent a question. After that, they have 30 seconds to answer. If you don't have a question, you don't have to ask it. You only get one question. After that, you get 60 seconds to talk. That is what I'm doing right now. So, Tyler, you want to set a 60-second timer for me?
I can go ahead and do that. Just give me... there we go.
As you all know from watching Sesame Street every day, religiously, because there's clearly no better television out there, you know about this guy, Count Von Count. He's a vampire. He likes to count things. Now, if I know one thing about vampires from vampire lore, it's that vampires are obsessively, magically compelled to count things. You can keep a vampire out of your house by putting a bag of rice on the front door, and they will count every single grain. Usually keeps them there till the sun comes up. Then they gotta run away or die. You got that out of the way. We all know now the Count is basically true to lore vampire kind of guy. And with that in mind, he sucks blood.
Count Von Count may be a vampire. That doesn't mean he ate all the kids in Sesame Street. Because vampires don't eat people. They suck their blood. I don't think they strip the flesh of others and consume them. They just suck blood. So could he have sucked the blood from all the kids? Yeah, probably, but would he have eaten them? No way, no how.
I think you're getting stuck up in technicalities of terms, and in doing so, admitted that I am right. Vampires suck blood. You don't see a lot of those kids on that show more than once, as I stated before the debate even began. So, you know what? Thank you for admitting I won. You see one kid disappear from the show. It's just a thing. You see two, it's an epidemic. Where do kids go when they leave Sesame Street? Why would anyone want to voluntarily leave Sesame Street? They probably wouldn't, especially kids. So that means that they were murdered to get them off the street, so that they could get new child stars in the making on the show. Where do they go when you're done with them? Either back to Hollywood or in a coffin to be turned into another vampire, because the Count sucked all their blood out because he's a blood predator.
I don't think Count Von Count would want the world to have more vampires. And I'm telling you, the way the question is phrased, it asks if he ate all of them. Which, like you said, he didn't, because there are kids that made reappearances on the show, which means there's no way that he ate all the kids. And there's no way he just ate anybody, because he sucked their blood. So I don't know where you're getting at with this whole eating thing or taking care of all the kids off the streets or whatever. It's bad. He didn't eat them. Probably sucked their blood. He wouldn't want to make more vampires, I don't think.
You know what? You have kind of just dug yourself into a hole, because the fact that he didn't technically eat them, quote-unquote, since you're being so drawn up in technicalities, doesn't change the fact, yeah, he's a blood predator. He sucked their blood. But you know what? Vampires don't have to undeadify everyone they murder. So some of those kids may not have come back as vampires. They probably just stayed in the ground because, you know, he didn't give them the magic stuff to do the undeadifying, because that's what we're calling it, undeadified. Ain't nobody been undeadified on Sesame Street. We want those child stars to stay child stars. Not in the eternal life way either, in the they don't get to leave the childhood phase way. That's Count Von Count's logic.
You said that Count Von Count wouldn't want the children to go past the child star phase. That is an absolute lie, because what does Count Von Count do? That's right, he counts. Obviously, he would want to see these kids count up the days until they become adults. He would count up the days for them. He loves counting, and there's no reason he should take that away from himself. And I'm still sticking with my guns. The question is phrased, did Count Von Count eat all the kids on Sesame Street? He did not eat them. He sucked their blood. There was no consuming of flesh. There was only drinking of blood.
So, deliberation time, I believe.
Yeah. I'll say my fallacy first.
Go right ahead.
All right, so I had the composition fallacy. Declare that something that is true of an individual or object from a group, it must also be true of the whole group. So, we have a sample group of kids. One disappears. Maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not. Two disappears. You got an epidemic.
My fallacy was splitting hairs. Focus attention on an extremely small, specific, or inconsequential aspect of a topic or what your opponent said.
So, the question wording.
Absolutely. I saw that, and as soon as you said he sucked their blood, I was like, bam, that's it. That's my opening.
Yeah, I think you played that one pretty good.
All right, so you know how to do the judging then?
How do you want me to do it? I'm going to probably try to 1 out of 5.
No, it's 1 out of 3. Fallacy use, opening argument, response to criticism.
Fallacy use. I do think Austin, he's definitely split hairs pretty good, but you also did a really interesting job of the group, making sure the compositional fallacy was...
Thank you.
I'm going to give it to Austin on the fallacy, though.
That's fair.
I feel like he was just a slight smidge better on this and able to just stick with it.
I guess so.
But only by a hair. I think you were just right under there, to be perfectly frank.
You know, it's just occurred to me that my thing of Count Von Count could technically be composition fallacy by saying that because he does one thing that true-to-lore vampires do, he's a true-to-lore vampire. I didn't even think of that when I started. Anyway, moving on.
Wow.
You know, I'm actually surprised. I missed it. I'm actually surprised neither of you tried to suggest that just the puppets themselves were vampires and the kids are being turned into the puppets. But nah. That would have been funny, too. And let's see. What was the other thing you want me to judge on? The second thing.
Who had the best opening argument? Which was probably also Austin, because he finished his. But
yeah, that's up to you. Yeah, he did pretty good on his opening arguments. Let's see, closing
arguments. No, it's not closing. It's best response to criticism.
Best response to criticism.
Tyler, how long have you been on this show?
Long enough to know that I need to pay more attention. Anyways, let's see. Response to criticism. Honestly, I think that you guys kind of tied on that.
Okay.
I didn't think you had any negatives in criticism.
All right.
I think you tied on criticism. So I feel like Austin kind of won it over, though.
That's how that works.
So, Austin, you are the winner.
Sweet. Now we get to wait for the audience to choose.
All right. You want to?
Let's move on to the next one.
I don't like this question.
What is the question?
Oh, Jesus.
Was Clifford the big red dog neutered? Yeah, I don't. This one is painful. this one actually hurts, guys. What
hey, I did not
you?
Make these questions.
I mean,
that's a lie. I made the first question.
I mean, oh. What are you guys
not
arguing?
This
argued about?
My God,
not this one.
Makes me wonder what your internet search
this
is.
This is the first History time this is. Will come up on the internet. For me, at least.
Really?
Nope.
Why
I'm
do
not
I feel
lying.
Like I don't believe
this is
that.
Not going to show up in my internet search history until this right. episode goes up.
Oh, boy. I'm just imagining something you're possibly looking at. My goodness.
No, please don't.
Leave the furry stuff to
anyway,
me.
So what was the question again?
Was Clifford the big red dog neutered?
And I'm no.
Did he get his balls chopped off with scissors or not? Yes or no?
I already know what I want to argue about, and it is the worst possible thing to say.
All right, get ready, set, go.
Clifford the Big Red Dog, right? He was 100% very factual, neutered. You know how I know this? Because I used to watch the TV show a lot as a kid. And not once did I see two big red balls hanging from that monstrosity of a dog. Trust me, they would have been noticeable if they had been there in the TV show. So that can already 100% confirm our little debate that yes, Clifford the Big Red Dog was in fact neutered.
First off, that is about the worst defense I have ever heard, because cartoons don't draw in genitals. They just don't do it, especially for children's cartoons. It's just not done. So they could have been there. They could have just not been drawn on, because animators do that. It's just something that animators do. It's just what they all do. And so I assume that's just what happened in this case as well.
Here's how I know Clifford the Big Red Dog was neutered, besides the fact that they do not have balls on him in the show. Clifford the Big Red Dog was definitely neutered because if he hadn't been, it is statistically shown that dogs that don't get neutered tend to be more aggressive. And Clifford was definitely not aggressive. He was the biggest, no pun intended, the biggest softy ever. You know, he was always helping people out. He was always, you know, loving on people. If he would not have gotten neutered, he would have been the most ferocious beast ever. He would have been destroying towns. He would have decimated all of Birdwell Island. He would have pounded it down to the ground with his huge paws. That's how I know. He's a big, peaceful giant.
You're ignoring some important facts here. First off, you're assuming that the only way he would have no high testosterone levels, which is what causes the aggression, is if he had the procedure in question. But have you considered that maybe, just maybe, Clifford just had a low sperm count to begin with due to his abnormal mutant size? Or that maybe there was some other magic at play because he grew that big due to love, which is not a thing that happens as observed in real life because everyone loves their dog just as much as Emily loved Clifford. Have you considered those things? Doubt it. Moving on.
Yes, Joel, I have taken the love factor into account. And I feel like with being neutered, which he definitely was, and the amount of love that he got, see, they said that the amount of love only contributed to the growth in size. They never said it contributed to anything else, which means that Clifford, out of the goodness of his big old red dog heart, just automatically loved people. That's because he was neutered. He was super calm, very docile, because ain't got no big red balls.
I would also like to take a moment to consider the logistical nightmare of performing this neutering. Okay, we've considered it, we're moving on. And now, I'd like to go back to the other thing. I would argue that just because of his massive size, he probably just had a low count in the first place on testosterone, and so he may not have even needed such a procedure to be a nice, friendly, docile giant.
So, when they neutered him, do you think they used a crane or not?
I don't think they did.
Here's a debate that I just thought of that would probably be way more childhood ruining than just the getting neutered. If he wasn't, could Clifford get a boner? Does he have enough blood?
That's another thing that no one considers about Clifford. Because of his size, he's probably not going to live very long.
Right?
10 at the absolute most, and he probably will have arthritis crippling his ability to move around by 8.
Well, he's a magical dog,
no,
so I don't count.
He's not magic, he's just enveloped in the power of love.
Which is a type of magic, so therefore it's that powerful. It makes his bones invincible.
Press X
to like
doubt.
Wolverine, but with bigger balls. Anyways.
Austin, read your fallacy first.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We're on to the critique. And
so my fallacy was slippery slope. Claim that one action or choice will lead to a chain of events that leads to a specific outcome. Clifford would decimate Birdwell Island. My point stands.
I used my fallacy at the very beginning and then forgot about it for convenience sake. It was the division fallacy. Declare that because something is true of a whole or a trend, it must also be true of the individual components. For some reason, I'm arguing correlations today.
I guess so.
First, I would say the one who took home the actual using their fallacy was Austin again. Yeah,
darn it.
I kind of feel like he was able to create an interesting slippery slope of the balls. And as far as the criticism, maybe Joel had a better on that one.
Yeah, I think Joel definitely did better on criticism than I did.
Thank you, guys.
Both of you had hilarious opening arguments, but I'm kind of leaning, honestly, Austin.
That's fair.
I think his opening argument was a little bit
Thank you.
Funnier. So I'd say Austin
That's fair.
takes this one as well, at least for me. All right, let's get back to the story at hand.
Yes. Hey, Tyler, what is
evens
it?
Evens or odds?
Nope, what is it first?
What is what?
Where are we? Oh, come on, Tyler. This is the 13th episode. We're down to it.
There you go. All right,
well, we are down to it.
All right, now we can move on to the last debate.
Does Miss Frizzle use the drugs?
I'm no, because Austin really wants to do yes, even though I'm going first this time.
This is what we argued about on Twitter, Joel. We have to stick to our guns.
I mean, have to is a very strong word, but I guess so.
So what kind of drugs do you think she takes?
I'll get to that in my argument.
Very scientifically engineered ones.
All right, come on.
All right, so first off, everyone knows that Miss Frizzle didn't do drugs for one simple reason. It was a kid's movie. Why would they have, in a kid's movie, portrayed a character who does drugs? No one in the movie world seems to think anything's off about her, other than the fact that she just has a magic school bus with all these field trips that no parent would sign the slip on if they knew it was actually going to happen. But beside the point, it's just a well-documented fact, I think, because no one who was watching the show when they were a kid ever stopped and thought, yeah, that's definitely what's happening here. No, that's something that you only think of as an adult to try and ruin your own childhood.
Miss Frizzle smoked pot. Miss Frizzle did blow. Listen, she totally, I bet she could outsmoke anyone in the entire world. She probably has a literal science bong in her closet in the classroom. And as one of my friends pointed out, she may not have been smoking pot, but she was definitely on cocaine. There's no way a teacher that has to deal with kids is that energetic all the time. So she was always energetic. She was definitely on cocaine. I mean, there was a little white on that nose. Let's be real.
There is definitely a way that Miss Frizzle could have gotten away with that classroom with not doing cocaine. It's called power and control. She had the absolute fear and respect of all of her students. She knew it, and she slept well at night with that knowledge. Ain't nobody gonna cross Miss Frizzle, because she's got that bus, she's got those dangerous field trips always planned. You don't want to be on her bad side on that field trip, so you stay in line, and that's how that works.
Miss Frizzle could have dropped acid with all of the kids. You know, there have been stories of people who have done acid and had very similar trips together. Why would that not be true for just a whole class of students? One person says something and everybody's like, whoa, man, that'd be so weird and radical. So all the while, Miss Frizzle is over here, you know, she's got her line done up and she is snorting on cocaine, keeping herself 100% awake, super energetic to teach the kids about stuff. You cannot tell me that her and possibly the kids were not on some kind of drug throughout the entire TV series. And I know you called it a movie earlier, so that's not true.
Okay, you're ignoring one very important thing with that claim, and that's that even if everyone has similar LSD dreams, they don't have identical ones, and they can't prove they all had an identical one. Next thing, that would have to be some pretty specially engineered LSD to get a science lesson out of it that the kids remember, because that is a lot of science that would go into making that drug. And if you're going to make that much science go into a drug, why not just science up your school bus to be magical? In my mind, those are the exact same level of effort. Either you can specially engineer a drug, or you can mechanically engineer your bus to do whatever the heck you want it to.
Miss Frizzle could have mechanically engineered her school bus. But you also got to think, I mean, when teachers go on field trips, they're not the ones driving the bus. It's bus drivers, you know? They have those for a reason. With a teacher driving the bus, I feel like Miss Frizzle is leading down all these kids to the path of drug use, because she was 100% smoking pot, you know, snorting cocaine, dropping acid, just 24/7. There's no way throughout the entire show, with all of the shit that happened, there's no way they were not high as a fucking kite the entire time. Miss Frizzle snorts cocaine. That's it. That's all I have to say.
All right, show us the fallacies you guys had. This is going to be interesting.
All right, well, I had the bandwagon fallacy, my broad general statements about everyone thinks this way, appeal to a topic's popularity, or reference the number of people who support or agree with it as a form of validation. I did the opposite. I referenced the number of people who disagreed with it, which is literally every child watching the show.
My fallacy was begging the question, make a claim that relies on information that hasn't been proven in order to be true, which honestly is just perfect for this debate. Because none of it has been proven, but none of it has been denied.
Devil's logic.
Yeah, I think Austin may have gotten that on the fallacy.
That's fair.
As far as opening statements, both of you had really great ones.
Don't lie, his was better.
I'm going to give that to Joel.
Oh, okay.
All right. His is good. I was trying to be nice, but okay. No, I'm going to give it to you, Joel. I think your opening was better, but... But I think he was better on the criticism.
Yeah, probably.
Booyah.
Very much so.
I have been thinking about this nonstop since I put that question out on Twitter.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to start a new campaign. It's called Tell a Friend Wednesday, because every time this episode comes out, it's a Wednesday. And that's the perfect time for you to share it with a friend. I don't know how you talk to your friends. I don't talk to mine except on the internet.
And see, the internet is the best place to do that, because you can just copy and paste a link to the episode for wherever you get your podcasts at.
That's true. But if you're just telling a friend, then you could already have the episode pulled up on your phone and just like shove it in their face.
Or you could do this. This is a less popular option, but you could do it. Speak the link to them and watch them furiously type it into the phone.
So thank you again for listening. And so how do you find us? Well, you know how to find the show. How do you talk to us? On Twitter, we have this thing called Incitement Games. It's a Twitter account where news about the show and the game Ad Hominem is posted. So that's something you might want to follow. And then on Facebook, if you want to like talk to other people who like the game and the show, then you should join the group of Illogical Debate.
An awesome plan. A sexy plan. The best plan.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, and our people who subscribe to us are just the best people ever.
Right?
Fantastic.
Can do no wrong. And the most logical and smart.
That's not a subjective point either. If you are subscribed to us through any podcast service, you are the best person in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, folks, debates aren't about proving your point. They are about asserting dominance over your opponents.